Okay, so I'm going to talk as well about a particular episode in my life, at least to begin with. And this is some years ago, so when I was in my late 20s. And I spent 4 months travelling in South America. So I was on a kind of quest, you could say, a bit of an adventure. I'd had similar experiences to what Vidyavachan described there, kind of conventional life beginning to unravel and just feeling like I needed to do something different. I wanted to live more meaningfully, and for various reasons felt like going to South America might provide that meaning that I was looking for. And my travels took me to a small town in Ecuador called Oña. It's in the Andes in Ecuador, so in the mountains. A very beautiful, very picturesque place, but very, very poor. So only about 200 people living there, but very, very poor village in Ecuador. And I'd gone there because I'd seen an advert. A man called Paul Perez had issued this advert asking for volunteers to go to Oña and to help to care for people who were sick and in other ways in need. So I arrived there, not really knowing what to expect. And on the first day there, I met Paul and he took me around the village. And we basically went from one house to another just to meet people. So the first house we went to was a farmhouse, quite remote and out in the hills. And I met a farmer there called Luis Kishpi. And Luis's problem was that the water that he was using for cooking and cleaning, that his family were using, it was contaminated. So it was making them sick. And they couldn't afford, they didn't have the money to connect to the fresh water supply that was actually running right past his house. You could hear it. So that was his problem. We then went to the house of a young woman nearby, and she had a badly damaged ankle. So she'd had an accident, and it was very swollen and deformed. And she didn't have the money to travel to the nearest city to see a doctor and to have surgery on the ankle. Then we went to another house, so the next house was another farmhouse, and that was owned by Señora de la Pancha. And her problem was that she had an elderly father who was very sick and bedridden. And he actually had the medicine that he needed, but he didn't have the syringes to administer the medicine, so he couldn't take it, and he couldn't afford to get the syringes. So it just went on like this, house after house, people with these problems, ill health and that kind of thing. And the problem in every case was the same. It was that people didn't have the money or the necessary expertise to alleviate the suffering. So each time we went from one house to the next, I just found my own desire to help getting greater and greater. I just wanted to do something to help. But at the same time, the sense of helplessness that I had also got greater and greater, to the point where I was feeling completely overwhelmed and despairing. Just completely helpless. Because compared to them, I was actually relatively wealthy. So I had money enough to travel halfway across the world on an existential kind of quest. But that wasn't money enough to give these people what they needed. And also I was well educated, you know, expert in piracy, whatever you want to call it. But didn't have the specific skills to help these people who really needed help. So I just had this real sense of poverty, not the material poverty that I was witnessing, but this inner poverty, this sense of just not being able to do anything or to help other people. So I'm afraid there's no happy ending to this story. There's no kind of resolution. Nothing happened whereby suddenly everybody was made well. I stayed in Oña maybe a couple of weeks. Just did little things that I could do, but otherwise had to quite soon move on and leave people in this state of suffering. So then I came back home, back to the UK, and that desire to help never went away. So it awakened something in me, this desire to help other people. And it got me questioning, it got me asking the question, how can I actually help people? How can I actually be of benefit to the world? I felt like there had to be a way to do that. And that was one of the reasons, wasn't the only reason, but one of the reasons that led me to a Buddhist centre, to Leeds, to meeting Vidyavachin, and ultimately to being stood here now, giving this talk. So when I went to the Buddhist centre, I discovered the teaching of the Buddha. And a bit like Padmajaya was evoking yesterday, there was this response to that, this response of faith to the teaching of the Buddha. And so much so that at some point I decided to commit the rest of my life to living as a Buddhist. And since then I have to say that that feeling of helplessness, that kind of inner poverty, it has actually lifted. So I'm puzzled by that in some ways, slightly puzzled. Because in the eyes of the world, compared to what I was doing when I was in South America, when I looked wealthy and had some kind of status and some kind of life, compared to that, in the eyes of the world, I'm actually a bit of a loser now, as I stand here. So, no career anymore, no kind of status that I can claim, hardly any money whatsoever. So I don't know if you know, but living at Padmaloka, we just receive support, which is a support allowance that's just enough to live on. No property. Don't even have my own room here. I share a room here with another member of the community. And, you know, shabby clothes, Berghaus fleece. Action man haircut, you know. In the eyes of the world, I don't add up to much. And yet, I feel like a rich man. I have to say, I feel like a rich man. I feel like I've somehow inherited a fortune or come into contact with something priceless, like a priceless jewel. And this priceless jewel that I've come into contact with, I do believe that it is of benefit to the world, that it is a fortune and a wealth that I can share with the rest of the world. So why is that then? What has made the difference? What is it about the Dharma that does make a difference in terms of our capacity to be of benefit to others and to help people? Well, I think one way of talking about it, one way of talking about that priceless jewel, is that it's the brilliant and clear jewel of right view. So right view or right understanding. Bante translates it as perfect vision. So the Buddha's teaching's brilliantly clear. So it's brilliantly clear about the true nature of the human condition. So the Buddha taught that suffering is actually universal. It's part of the human experience. It's something that we all experience. So what I encountered when I was in Onya in South America, that material poverty, I didn't share that with those people. But that didn't mean I wasn't suffering. There are all kinds of suffering in the world. We see that. We're surrounded by that. There's the material poverty. There's all kinds of emotional pain and difficulty. There's even the existential suffering. The suffering of not knowing what to do about somebody else's suffering, for example. So the Buddha taught that that's all there. But also the Buddha was very clear about the cause of that suffering, the root cause of that suffering. So in its essence, suffering, dukkha, is caused by a delusion. It's caused by a fundamental wrong view that grasping after impermanent and insubstantial things can make us happy and make us feel secure. It can't do that. And out of that wrong view that it can, this whole world of suffering, of division, of injustice is created. So the Buddha's very clear about that. And it's not an easy truth to digest, is it? I was really struck by what Vidyavachin just said, that the fruits of our practice are not necessarily sweet in taste, or they don't feel it at the time. And this kind of truth that actually, you know, for me, suffering, I began to see, was worse than I had imagined it was. I thought I'd seen it in South America, but actually it's everywhere, and when you start looking, you see that. But the Buddha didn't stop there, did he? He didn't stop with describing the world as a world of suffering and it being caused by this craving and this grasping after impermanent things. He went further than that and described a path, gave a vision not just of how things are, but how to transform and to live in accordance with the way things are, so that we move away from suffering and towards a genuine and lasting happiness and satisfaction. So when we start to see the gleam of right view, that's when we start to become truly rich and truly wealthy. That's when we start to have something that we can really offer to others. So it starts with us, really. It starts with our own minds. We work to replace that fundamental wrong view with right view. And we begin to unpick and remove our selfish tendencies and replace them with selfless ones and positive ones. And all of our practices are about that. So all the things on the program of this retreat have been about that. And actually, if we do that, that alone is enough. So that alone is of benefit to the whole world. It's already helping to alleviate the suffering of the whole world. And it's counterintuitive. It doesn't necessarily feel like that, does it? So sometimes it can feel self-indulgent to withdraw from the world and come on a retreat. But actually in doing that, we're having a huge benefit to the whole world. The effects are much wider than we sometimes imagine. So we can think of it like this, that coming on the retreat here this weekend, we haven't just worked on our own individual minds. We might be feeling a bit more integrated, more positive, but it doesn't stop there. Because in doing that individually, we've also been doing that as a community. So we've been creating the conditions for us all to cultivate these more positive minds, these minds that really see things with right view. And we couldn't have done it without each other. And it's not just our community here, 30 or so men as we are. We're also contributing to Padmaloka and what Padmaloka holds for other people. So I know there's a retreat starting this evening, and the people that come in on that retreat will kind of enter the flow of what we've created on this particular retreat. So we're already having effects. We're creating Sangha and building Sangha by working on our own minds. But I think it goes beyond that too. So shortly we're going to have a closing ritual and we'll all leave the retreat. But we'll all go, it was amazing hearing where everybody's from. We'll all go to these different parts of the world and we'll carry something of this retreat experience with us. We'll carry that jewel within us. So we'll meet people and they'll become the beneficiaries of the clearer minds that we've developed, the more positive, the more friendly, the more loving minds that we're developing. And that's just the effects of this retreat. So imagine if we all decided that we were going to commit our lives to living according to the Dharma, to cultivating this right view, to becoming more and more selfless in our actions. If we all lived our entire lives in that way, you know, imagine the effect that that would have on the world. So that's what I'm aspiring to do with my life and have been since getting back from South America and connecting with the Dharma. And there are all kinds of things that get in the way. But despite my limitations and the things that do inhibit that, on deeper and deeper levels, I'm trying to commit myself to cultivating that right view and be more and more selfless. And I think it's on the basis of that that my sense of inner poverty and that helplessness that I felt when I was in South America, I think it's on the basis of that commitment that that's beginning to lift. And instead, this sense of wealth, of richness, of abundance is increasing. And it's increasing not just for me, but in a way through me. And that's why it touches other people. So it's not mine, and it never can be mine. But by making this commitment, living this kind of life, I feel that something works through me and touches other people too. And in that sense, it can't be my wealth, but it can be the wealth of the world. It can transform the world. So in the words of Shantideva, the 8th century Indian monk, this jewel of the true Dharma, it's the elixir of life. It's an inexhaustible treasure alleviating poverty in the world, and it's the supreme medicine curing the sickness of the world. Thank you.